has asked me if I can minister tonight. I've just had an expectation, but especially over the weekend and today, my expectation, I was just crying out to God, just saying like, Lord, oh, it's so lucky to see all you lovely faces that I love so much on my word. My expectation just kept on growing that it got so large that I almost got nervous while we were worshiping. And then I was reminded, I've got absolutely nothing to offer to you. Like, I've got nothing to give to you that will change your life. God is just asking, would I be with a surrendered heart speak truth? And I'm like, that I can do. So all pressure is on God, the King of all glory, who already defeated the grave, which means there's no pressure on him. He's just a king coming back for his bride. So what a privilege tonight to represent the King of all ages tonight to you. What a privilege for me. I count it really such a privilege. So thank you so much that I can share with you. Let's just quickly pray. Lord Jesus, God, we're just so surrendered and hungry tonight for you. We want living waters, because that's what you've got to offer for us. And tonight we won't settle for anything else, God. We're not interested in what I have to say, God. We want to hear from you, God. Let your truth, God, ring in our hearts and in our ears. Holy Spirit, we're just so hungry for you now, and we just submit ourselves to you and say, come and speak to us, God. You are our King. You love us, and we love you back, Father. So thank you that tonight we can receive Abba Father love from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was doing flowers for a wedding this weekend and was clearing up this morning. And while driving back, I interceded like a sticky for tonight. And as I was driving, the radio was off. And the next moment, it on it by itself. It went on, and the last line of a song came on, just a love song, just singing of love. And what just immediately as it went on, and I heard these words of, it just in my heart, it just felt like the Lord saying that is his heart, is to love, is to love you, is to love me. He invites his love back, and he wants to give that love. So I was like, that is what I heard. And then I was like, okay, like, Holy Spirit, if the angel put on the radio, because my heart activates him speaking truth to us. He is not, his invitation for us to freedom, to life, is not motivated by right and wrong. It's really motivated by his love for us. So tonight I just want to share with you about what we believe. What's truth? I need to check the time. Okay, so there are many different worldviews. Many different people have different thinking systems, different ways of seeing things, different belief systems. And like, as we all already know, what you believe determines the type of choices you make. Am I correct? When I'm at a robot, red means go. What I believe will determine what will happen to me and with me and other people as I make decisions based on what I believe. So what we believe actually points us to a place of receiving life and handing it out, or allowing the enemy in, like that word was shared earlier, allowing the enemy in, letting him steal from us, and out of hurt, letting him through us steal from others. So the exciting part about what we believe bringing life is that Jesus Christ came and he gave us the word. He didn't just leave us if they're in your presence, because God has such a desire to dwell amongst us, but through us. So I was challenged earlier today while praying, maybe this morning, maybe yesterday. It's a bit of a blur. Wedding flowers can become interesting. But the whole time while I'm doing the flowers, there's expectation in my heart for what God wants to do in his people tonight. And it just felt like God challenging me to say to you, I'm here tonight to bless you. I'm sent as a blessing to you. Why is it important for me to believe that? If a hose pipe doesn't believe it's a hose pipe and it's chilling as a round circle and it thinks it's a lovely round circle that you can jump in and jump through, you know, to do CrossFit exercises or like hop, skip and jump, hopscotch, it's not going to fulfill its function, although it is a hose pipe. But if you plug it into water that's flowing, what's going to happen to the other end of the hose pipe? You're going to see life. You're going to see things grow. So it's important for me to understand that I'm here to bless you. But You know why that's important? Because it's important for you to understand, yes, to Jesus, then you are plugged in to living waters. Whether you feel it or you see it or not, you are plugged into living waters, and everywhere where the end goes, there will be living waters. So it's important that we believe and understand that we are vehicles of his presence, and God has got a desire. It's his desire. He invites us. Will you be my vehicle? I want to spread my glory. And the crazy thing is that he says his representative on earth is the bride, the church, in all her glory and in all of her brokenness. That is whom he has chosen. And there's no other option. He doesn't do that. Will we be focused on handing out water if we are focused on the cracks or the size or the length of the hose pipe? No. We will miss out, but God is so good. He brings us to that place of believing truth so we can be set free. So, in other words, if what we, Geeton, you're such a worshiper, hey, when this man worships, really, I was just like, wow, Lord, what a worshiper, the way that God uses you also to usher in his presence. That's really beautiful, so I want to honor you for that, and thank you for opening my water. Okay, so, if what we believe determines how we act, how we react in situations, that means, in certain situations, the way we act and react will show us what we truly believe in our heart. So it's good if somebody gives you a survey and they say, fill in age, name, where you're from, religion, what do you believe? What do you believe should your reaction be if somebody slaps you in the face? Like, you know, theory, the doctrine, that which we believe when we, our minds get renewed because of going to Bible school, going to church, fellowshipping with friends. Like, our minds get renewed and we start believing things instead of a worldview that is secular, humanistic, or there are very lots of isms in it. Sometimes some circumstances that are not great are a gift of God for us to see, but what do I believe in my heart? Now, God says in Romans 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So, if the truth sets us free, that means we need to, relationships, in my finances, in my workplace, unless I apply the truth of who he is and knowing him and knowing, believing that truth, I will not see the fruit of knowing God. If I believe there is really a tap over here and I'm a hose pipe and I'm like, I believe this is a tap, but I don't plug into it, will there be water coming, flowing through me? Well, God, no, we know we must be plugged into God, that's true. But one of the ways that we are plugged into God is by believing his truth and applying it in different areas in our life, whether it's comfortable or not. That's one of the ways we can receive life, is by applying it. So, as I said, what we believe gives us the opportunity either to sow and reap life or sow and reap that which leads to destruction. And then circumstances reveal, like, what we truly believe. So I have got the big privilege right now. Firstly, I'm going to share with you what God's definition is of success. And then after that, I'm going to give you lovely circumstances that showed what I believe in different areas of my heart. It's really good. Ask any, like, Shofar, Boosted enjoyed it. They laughed at it. So let's look at success. Because we grow up, we're discipled by TV and radio and a lot of other things. What a wise young man shaking his head, Zach. Yes, I love it. We often don't realize where our thinking has not yet been renewed. Even though our heart is for that truth, sometimes we still apply old ways of thinking in certain areas. So now, for us to be successful in God's eyes versus being successful in the world's eyes, we need to know what's the difference. Like, how can I chase success in God's eyes if I don't know what it looks like? But it's easy to chase success in the world's eyes because we know what it looks like. Advertising exists. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So woman or man, obviously, who fears God to be praised. Okay, you guys. God says success in his eyes is somebody that fears God. That's the type of person that is to be praised. Is that like that in the world? When you take a stand for God, does the world go, yes, what a guy? No, they go, oh, you're a this phobe, you're a that phobe. They try to put you in jail. Like, I don't know if you're aware of the many countries and many law cases. Some of them also, he says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. So God says you're blessed. You are, in other words, successful in his eyes. If your hope and your confidence is in him. What does the world say? What does a cool, successful person, how do they carry themselves? They believe in themselves. You need to believe in yourself. It's in every magazine. It's in every movie. It says, believe in yourself. If you search hard enough and you carry yourself with enough confidence, the world will take you seriously too. That's the world's definition of success. Where God says his idea of success is all your hope, all your confidence is not in what are you not driving or driving, how do you look or not look, who loves you, doesn't love you. He says if all your hope and your confidence is in him, he declares you are successful. You are blessed. That's blessed, being blessed and successful in God's eyes. Matthew 5 from 3 to 11 has a few. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are people that are sad because of things that are challenging them. For they shall be comforted. Earth. This earth or the new earth and heaven that's coming? I believe both. I believe there's a place where God says, I want to fill up your cup so I can give it to the hungry through you. But also he says there's a new heaven and earth coming. And everything you're faithful of now, like in your unstellar mir, he can give you according to your faithfulness here is the new earth that's coming. You will have power and dominion over. We will reap then what we were sowing now. Blessed are the merciful. Right before that, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. In other words, if you are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So you hear something horrible happening to somebody. Do you run to tell it to somebody? Or do you fall on your knees and say, Lord, it must be out of a place of brokenness where this person have done this. Would you come and heal that person's heart? Or do you run to somebody else to say, shucks, very sad. Have you heard about what happened in that marriage or this or that? Because I was recently confronted with things and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, will your heart break for what breaks mine? Because we are stewards of our heart and we can decide which way we turn it. Where God wants to know, will your heart break for what breaks mine? Because out of what comes out of our mouth, whether it's in prayer or speaking to people, we will see if us in our heart, we are peacemakers. We pray for peace and reconciliation between our brothers and our sisters for ourselves or not. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of eating the kingdom of God. Even though you don't immediately reap what you are busy sowing, God says if you're busy sowing kingdom first, you're going to reap. You are successful. The world doesn't care about where you're going. It says, where are you? Where have you been? Where have you arrived? Come show me a CV. You can be a speaker at this thing. Like if you've got this many followers, you've got this and this. And God says, no, you are blessed if you are pursuing my kingdom first. I see you as successful. That's God's definition of success. So now I can share with you. It's just sometimes the renewing of our mind in a certain area has happened. There's been growth, but there's still a deeper level of renewing of our mind and renewing of our thinking that God wants to bring. So I don't know about you, but I'm super hungry and thirsty for more of God in my life. I'm super hungry for more people to get healed and saved because I prayed for them, because I shared the gospel with them. That's my heart's desire. Because you see, the thing is, Jesus died and he conquered all evil things, even death. We've got dominion over death because Jesus has authority over death. Do more things, greater things than him. So if God's not going to hold us back, the enemy can't hold us back, the helper, which is the same spirit of God that rose Jesus from the dead, is with us. What can hold us back? Who? Us. In the areas where our thinking has not been renewed. So I don't know about you, but I'm so excited saying, Lord, come renew my thinking. Come show me in my heart where I don't yet believe the truth. Because the truth will set me free and the fruit will be a freedom of my life. The people around me will taste freedom. It's as simple as that. If you win billions of rands tonight and you are sitting at this desire saying yes for more of you, but we have to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to show to us where we don't believe truth. And because once we start applying the truth, there's where the fruits will change in our life. It's good that we talk about truth. It's good that we post it on our social media walls. I mean, that's a platform to reach many people. It's good that we're excited about the truth. But lives will only change. Your life will only change, and the people around your life will only change if you apply it. And the challenge is not to believe it, because once God lifts your veils, yes, your spirit is thirsty for truth. How many of you can remember? In Stellenbosch, and the Lord said to me he wanted me to finish up with student ministry and go back into the entertainment industry. So acting, singing, presenting, that type of thing. So I said, yes, Lord, my life is yours. I pursued that career since I was a little girl. And in 2009, the Lord very clearly said to me, I want you to give up this dream like Abraham gave up Isaac. And I said, yes, Lord, you are worth so much more than any dream or job or career or anything like that. So I gave it up completely. And then last year, the Lord said, I want you to finish up and go back to Joburg. Okay. Go into the student ministry and entertainment industry. Hello. That's when he started talking to me about it, the year he moved me there. And in 2016, 3 years later, I had my answer. He's such a gracious father that even though my life belongs to him, and if he tells me tonight, pack my bags and go tomorrow, I say yes. He wanted to give me my heart opportunity to turn to there. That by the time I moved this year in July, I was so excited. I felt like a kid moving to Disneyland. It's the only way I could explain it to people. And so being there and God sending me there, he keeps on providing, doing like these crazy things to encourage me and to provide for me because I'm in his will and I'm following him. So, and I get overwhelmed like that very night where I'm not cracking or if it's in the morning, like God will either give somebody a word of knowledge or a dream or something else and they'll send me the message. Every time, God is so faithful at this stage. When I lose, I've been here, down here for work for a while now, but when I was still there, I'm going back tomorrow. When I'd be like losing it, I'd be cracking like this. And God, and oh, it's probably still on its way. It's like I'm sad. While I'm sad, I'm like waiting for God's encouragement. That's how faithful he is. That's how real God is to me. We often like hear Angus back and people saying he's more real to you than the people. And it's going really well in the sense of it's 3 months and I live between friends. So God sends people that walk up to me and say, would you like to come and live with us next? And I say, yes, thank you. And that's how I move from house to house. So this one night, I'm lying in my bed on mattress that they borrowed, crates that they got for me because they didn't have a spare bed, but they really wanted me to come stay there because God stirs our hearts as the body to be his hands and feet, to be his spare rooms for people. So I'm lying there and I'm going to bed with this big smile, but I'm 32, I'm single, I'm couch surfing and I'm looking for work in the industry. People continuously say to me, you know, there's very little work in this area. But I'm going to bed. I don't have a faster income. What's that in English? No, I'm also an income. What's faster income in English? Fixed, thank you. I don't have a fixed income. I don't have a fixed address. But I'm going to bed with this big smile on my face and all of this peace in my heart. And as I lie there in bed with this excitement and joy and peace all at the same time in my heart, I realize, oh, wait a minute. So I can be married with 5 houses and 14 kids and 82 movies tomorrow, and I might have to take medication for anxiety and depression to fall asleep. Because I know of a lot of people that have a lot and also have to take medication for those reasons. And I lie there and I realize, okay, God, so what I believe determines how I'm doing. Wat jy glo veroorsaak hoe dit met jou gaan. And that's a very bold statement to make, but so just please hear me out before you run to a teacher with me that you can, of success. So I didn't realize when all these accusations were coming at me for 4 days and I couldn't stop crying. It's the enemy speaking to me because he speaks to us in a sneaky way. His other name is 00 Sneaky because he doesn't, if he sees you are so amped and you love God, he doesn't jump before you in a tutu and go, rather choose me, rather submit unto me. Because then you'd be, go away in Jesus' name. I submit under God's truth. He comes in a little tiny thought in your tone of voice and says, sure, Marie, 32, don't have a place to stay. Sure, bit of a loser, hey? You don't, it's not that I can't share a flat with somebody. I can't afford to rent a room at this stage. And that accusation goes for me. But I don't realize it's the enemy. I'm just like, this is what's going on in my head. So later, the thoughts come up. Sure, Marie, 32, Marie, turning 33 in Jan, and you can't find a job. Sure. What a loser, hey? And then, that's not the end. Quadrant number 4, he goes, it's a Saturday night when this 4 days of me crying is happening and a heaviness sits on me. And during this 4 days of heaviness that's sitting on me, I pray, I worship, it doesn't go away. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. When you speak the truth and you have, you know, the lies have to go away, or when you worship, your presence have to come in. I know it works. And it's sticking around. So later I change, it's this community, like, are you loved by friends or people? So it's a Saturday, my friend's movie comes out and I can't find anybody to go to the movies with me. Which is not strange because I've been living there at that stage for 3 months. So I haven't made that many friends yet. But even if you've lived in the same place for 100 years and you can't find somebody to move, doesn't matter. But in that moment, the enemy's just like, quadrant number 4. You don't even have people that love you here. Yeah, people, because he speaks to us in facts often. He goes, he quoted scripture to Jesus. He'll speak to us in fact. He's like, you've got people that love you 1,400 kilometers away. So I'm just like, or loneliness or spirit of anxiety, whatever, can only stay somewhere where it's welcome, where it has a legal right to stay. I'm like, oh. And the Lord says to me, there are still areas deep down in your heart where you don't believe that the definition of success is being obedient to me as God. And that's why in those areas where you believe lies, the enemy can pew, 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 shoot at you with those accusations. And they've got a place to hold on to and they can linger with you. And as he explains this to me, he revealed this to me, I immediately said to him, Lord, I give every area of my heart, I give it to you where I do not believe in your definition of what is success. Because I've said it a while ago and I keep on saying it. I say to God, my definition of success is being obedient to you. And I've said to him, this is my doctrine. But God, out of his goodness, allows these circumstances to show me where I actually don't believe this truth. And then I start reaping the fruit. And the fruit was these accusations. And it's shame that comes to sit on you. And as God showed it and revealed it to me, I said to him immediately, okay, Lord, I repent. I give every area of my heart where I don't believe. I give it to you and I say, come make me whole. I repent from believing in the world's opinion of his definition of success. I want your definition of success. And as I say this to him, immediately it lifts. The atmosphere, like that heaviness, everything I felt, immediately as I say this to him, it just lifts up. So I want to encourage you and say to you that sometimes some circumstances will challenge us so much, but God says the truth will set us free. And sometimes the only way we can see certain truths that are in the pit of our hearts, of our bellies, of who we are, is if we see our reactions and actions in certain circumstances. And maybe you feel overwhelmed as you sitting here with certain things that you have been putting your faith out for, and there's been maybe many disappointments, or maybe there's fears maybe in areas. In the end of the day, God doesn't speak to us with a pointing, accusing time. He just asks, like, what can I do for you? Even though he knows, he invites us to a place of healing. God has got such a desire to comfort you guys, to comfort me, to comfort us. And what we believe sometimes keeps us away from running to him for that comfort. Sometimes what we believe, the shame and accusations, keep us away from liberty and freedom, because Jesus has died to give us liberty and freedom. I don't lie in the night on a bed on crates there in Joburg, you know, with another 5 days in that house before I move, with a big smile on my face, because I'm a good Christian. I don't know what speaks to us. Sometimes it's like blatantly obvious, and sometimes it's double O sneaky. You're thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. But it's the enemy coming to bring shame and accusations against you. Now, the enemy has been overcome, but there's still a fight with our flesh. Will I submit under the lies and accusations of the enemy? Or do I choose, because we choose what we submit under? Or do I choose with my soul and my flesh to submit, led by the Spirit, but my soul and my flesh needs to pray and choose this? Do I submit under the encouragement of God, under the nourishment of God? Blemish. That's what he sees when he looks at us. And he's asking us, will we submit under who he says we are, who he's made us to become and be? Or will we submit under the accusations and shame of this world and what the enemy tells us? Because that's our choice. God is a gentleman. He will not force anything, but he encourages us the whole time. He even helps us. He says in Deuteronomy 20, he says, he's like, I sit before you life and death, and then in case you're a bit slow, he urges you, goes, choose life. There's the whole time, there's a fight for us to submit under that which leads to life. Together in that way. He's not confused about the calling he has on your life, the plans that he has for your life. The way he's put you together is perfect for the things that he has called you for. And God's encouragement to us is saying, to access those things, he doesn't speak of 100 steps. There's this one step. He asks, will you live a life where your heart is surrendered continuously to me? Because it's out of that place of surrendering that I can be encouraged by God. When I'm honest to him and I say to him what's going on, there's a word of knowledge coming my way. There's a dream of encouraging you this. God has got such a desire through your lives to change this town, to change the streets where you live, the offices where you stay. God has got a desire for that. And as we please stand so we can end off, I want to pray today.